Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 88. Now, you may have noticed, you eagle-eared listeners, that I'm speaking on my own. We seem to have lost Al. We haven't lost him. He's just producing things to a much higher quality and does not wish to have to interact with my babblings. But these are not babblings. These are well-crafted thoughts. The purpose of Quantum of Solace is that we consider some of the things that are going on in the world from a Christian worldview. And so we begin this week with yet again the US election. And I want to reflect just a little bit upon the threat to democracy. There's a blame game going on. It's the racist white working class what won it. It's women. Now there's an interesting one. Here's an astonishing statistic. 42% of women voted for a misogynist. 53% of white women voted for a misogynist. Well, the blame game says this is just internalized misogyny, these poor dumb women. So you've got the poor dumb working class, you've got the poor dumb women. And then, of course, it's the non-college educated. Democracy is coming to the USA. Now, as we said last week, I have great doubts about whether being in college means that you're educated, because it seems increasingly that US colleges and universities are being used to indoctrinate rather than educate. But all this is leading to some amongst our elites questioning the very premise of democracy, whether one person's vote is as valuable as somebody else's. So you have Jason Brennan, the Georgetown philosopher, talking about needing an aristocracy of the wise. It reminded Brendan O'Neill, whose article we linked to, of The Guardian after Brexit, with the headline which stated, "Why elections are bad for democracy." So there we go. Maybe we should just have democracy by opinion polls and democracy by the elites and the aristocracy of those elites. So here's an interesting thought for you, something for you to reflect on over this coming week. I don't believe that democracy will survive without Christianity. The foundations of democracy, particularly in the West, and that's where it largely has come from Protestant Christianity. Now, others are going to argue it was the ancient Greeks, and there's an element of truth in that. But democracy as we know it today developed in Western countries which had a Protestant Christian background and spread to others, the Catholic background and so on, and indeed has spread throughout the world. But that's why I think George Bush and Tony Blair were wrong when they thought simply by invading Iraq or simply by us attacking Libya or Syria or whatever, and giving people the chance to vote, we'd have democracy. We need the institutions, we need the culture, we need the background. And I think Christianity has provided that. What is it going to be replaced with? An aristocracy of the elite. No, we're in trouble if that's the case. Sail on, sail on.
Of green through the smiles of heat. Sail on.
Well, let's move across the border from the USA and let's move into Canada to, as someone has told me, that dishy premier, Trudeau, who speaks very well, who looks great, and who is the model for the Western liberal elites.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the facts historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical.
Well, he gave a speech to the United Nations recently, which was fascinating in many ways.
When leaders are faced with citizens' anxiety, we have a choice to make. Do we exploit that anxiety or do we allay it? Exploiting it is easy. But in order to allay it, we need to be prepared to answer some very direct questions.
There's so much that he says that I find myself agreeing with. But then I have to stop and ask, what does he actually mean?
To allay people's anxiety, we need to create economic growth that is broadly shared. because a fair and successful world is a peaceful one. We believe we should confront anxiety with a clear plan to deal with its root causes.
And there's one thing in particular that, again, I want us to reflect on.
To exploit anxiety, to turn it into fear and blame, to reject others because they look or speak or pray differently than we do. Every single day, we need to choose hope over fear, diversity over division.
The politics of fear. We must not give in to the politics of fear. Now, immediately, there were people who picked up on that and saw it as pertaining to Donald Trump, that he was blaming the other, he was blaming immigrants and so on. Well, I think there is a politics of fear. I think that analysis may be true about Donald Trump and some of his supporters. But I also think it's true of Monsieur Trudeau and of the liberal elites, because they have a politics of fear. Because recently, what I'm seeing is people being afraid of Donald Trump, being afraid of their views not being predominant. We've got a fantastic irony here. The left, liberal left, have projected fear. They end up believing their own projections, and so they end up being afraid. That's how it goes. That's why you had these cry rooms in American universities at Stanford and others for students who were traumatized by an election. By the way, I think it works on the right as well. The right project fear. They end up believing their own projections and they end up with fear. The politics of fear works always. Our answer to that as Christians is simply this. It's perfect love that drives out fear. Not imperfect love, not yakking about love. I love it. I have somebody who regularly writes against me, says the most horrendous things, and then signs it off love and light. Well, I'm sorry, that's not love and light when you're abusing and miscalling names. No, this is real love, the kind of love that God brings. God is love. And I think you will always have the politics of fear without the God of love.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah.
Let's come back to the United Kingdom and a really interesting item on the BBC wanting to broadcast more religions, and particularly Islamic prayer. I was asked to write on this for Premier, and we'll put a link to that. It seems fair enough, doesn't it? If you're going to broadcast one religion, you should broadcast others, and there's arguments about proportion and what should be involved. The BBC is obliged by its charter to produce 110 hours of religious broadcasting each year. If you were to do it proportionately with the figures that the government provide, which I don't believe in either way, then that would mean that Islam would receive around 10 hours per year. That's around 12 minutes per week. But I have a much stronger objection, and it's a harder one to put across, because I don't believe that all religions are the same. All religions are equal. And I also think that in the United Kingdom, we are, by history, by tradition, by law, we are a Christian country, whatever that means. The BBC is the British state broadcaster. It is funded by the British state, and our constitution is fundamentally Christian. Our legal, education, health, and welfare systems are based on Christian principles. So I have no problem at all with the BBC showing us a service in a mosque or a Hindu worship service. The problem I have is when they promote Islam. And there's another side to it as well. The BBC and many of its programs are highly critical of Christianity. If they are prepared to offer the same critique of Islam, if Mohammed gets the same abuse that Christ and his church gets on BBC comedy shows, then perhaps there'll be some scope for saying they're all being treated equally. My fear, as I argue in the article, is that we end up with liberal propaganda using religion as the excuse. It's very interesting that there's an Islamic imam who has exactly the same fear and was also writing in against this proposal. I think also that the BBC, in pursuit of its liberal, amorphous view of religion, will effectively neuter any portrayal of biblical Christianity. I'm not arguing against freedom of religion or of tolerance. I am arguing that not all religions are equal. That should be a self-evident point. Bottom line is, in a free country, Muslims should be free to broadcast and air their call to prayer on private and independent TV stations. But the BBC, as the state broadcaster of a Christian nation, should not be promoting, at taxpayers' expense, a religion which will fundamentally undermine the basic Christian values of that nation. We have got a new series of videos called Short Answers. Now, I say so myself because I've not been involved in any yet. They're brilliant. And they are getting the views that they deserve. Highly recommended. The next one, which will be coming out on Monday, Do Christians and Muslims Worship the Same God? That will be the next short answer. Highly recommended. Take these clips, use them, spread them around. They're designed to be discussion starters and thought provokers. They are very well produced, and they're all yours for free. Go over to Italy and to the wonderful city of Florence and to a real culture clash. McDonald's are suing the city of Florence for $20 million because the city of Florence has refused to have a restaurant right at the heart of the city. Now, it already has four McDonald's within 5 minutes walk of that area, but the city, the town council, the city council want to protect the city's historic centre from a proliferation of fast food restaurants. But McDonald's are furious because they're McDonald's and they want to have a McDonald's right there in the Cathedral Square. It's a world famous tourist destination. Well, I'm sorry, my sympathy is entirely with the city council, and here's why. We cannot have, in this age of TTIP and CETA and other trade agreements, we cannot have a situation where multinational companies are able to override either local government or national government in order just to further their brand. Good for Florence. Keep going. And by the way, McDonald's, I'll still love your breakfast, but no, leave our historic city centres alone.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
We return to music and to Mr. Cohen, who, as we reflected on already, died aged 82. There is a wonderful obituary in the New York Times, which I just thought it was fantastic. And, you know, I've been spending the week listening to his music, mourning for him, but just rejoicing at just some of the great, great songs. I mean, take this for example. And Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, "All men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them." But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. He really is a poet. Now that other poet, Bob Dylan, who is going to collect his Nobel Prize, or at least allow it to be given to him, I don't think he's going to Sweden, he pointed out something about Cohen that I thought was fascinating. He said, everyone talks about Cohen's lyrics, which are brilliant, but they forget his melodies, which are used to put across those lyrics. And I absolutely, totally agree. I don't know, I keep thinking my favourite Cohen lyric is this or that or the other thing, but I guess Bird on the Wire. And it is Bird on the Wire, by the way, not Bird on a Wire. He wrote it as Bird on the Wire. Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. I guess that ties in with Did It My Way or whatever. But here's the thing, what Cohen gets brilliantly, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I've tried in my way to be free. See, the drunk in the midnight choir is not part of the harmony, it's not part of the society, really struggles, doesn't achieve even what they want to achieve. And that's what happens when we try in our way to be free. There's someone who brings us freedom, real freedom. And in effect, he makes us part of his heavenly choir, where there is diversity, where there is equality, and there is harmony.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in an old midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
Just a reminder as we go of the Inverness Conference, which is going to be on this Saturday. Things are looking great. Michael Ramsden and Andy Bannister and lots of other people. We're looking forward to being up north. We've had some really great conferences and events recently. I was down in Kilmarnock a couple of weeks ago and it was tremendous. Andy's been over in Hawaii, tough gig, Kilmarnock or Hawaii, and also in Belfast. It's good that the Lord is using this stuff, but if you are anywhere near the Inverness area this Saturday, come along. We've still got room for you. See you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge and oddly enough, but makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.